Strength and our Redeemer, by your Spirit hold us forever, that through your grace we may worship you and faithfully serve you, follow and joyfully find you. Bless these words proclaimed, and by your Spirit stir our hearts and reveal yourself to us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. I remember more than 25 years ago sitting in the crowded staff room at the Chateau Victoria Hotel, pulling my sandwich out of a paper bag, which I also used as a placemat, while scanning the room to see who else was taking their break at 11:30 a.m. I loved and I didn't love that room. I loved it during the day because it was always packed with fellow employees from all the departments: housekeeping, kitchen, laundry, front desk, room service, bellman. I didn't love it because it wasn't exactly a place to get a quiet rest away from hotel guests and their sometimes ridiculous touristy questions such as, how much is that in American? Or, how do you grow your totem poles? For real, people ask things like that. During the day, you were lucky if you could find a place to sit. But I loved this room because the staff at this hotel were people from a multitude of ethnicities, speaking many different languages, always smelling like fragrant food from other countries. One particular day, I noticed a new person. She was a young woman who looked about my age, and she had a vivacious personality that filled the room. I could tell just by listening to her accent that she was from one of the most wonderful places on earth, New York City. And so naturally, I started talking to her. After about 10 minutes of introducing ourselves to each other and conversing exuberantly, she told me about her church. That's right, 10 minutes. Intel that we like to keep under wraps about ourselves when we're meeting new people, she revealed in 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, she told me about moving from Victoria, from New York, to go to UVic, and about attending a local church. Now, I had visited churches in my childhood, and I enjoyed that my parents always accepted invitations from others to check out their churches. But we never belonged to a church. And I'd been thinking a lot about God at that time in my life. I didn't really have friends who talked about God, and I thought, hey, I figured a church might be a place to go and ask questions. Why not? I said to her, I've thought about checking out a church sometime. I said it like it was a movie class or a yoga class or a movie or a Vietnamese restaurant. Something interesting. Something different. She said, come to my church. It's really great. The pastor preaches powerful sermons, great people, great music, and she said she loved it very much. So I asked her why she loved it very much. And she replied, I just love Jesus, and I think that everyone should see that a life of God is better than they think. She said it so matter-of-fact. She said it like she was talking about the best restaurant or the best movie she'd ever seen. She said it without hesitation, and she said it without embarrassment. It was astonishing. Now, normally, if someone said something like that to me about their religion, I would have smiled and said, well, good for you. Good for you. But as it happens, this total stranger shared, while she kind of bubbled over her spiritual truth with me, in a time in my life when I was seeking deep meaning, a connection with God. I was seeking something I couldn't quite explain. If she were to ask me the question, what are you looking for? I'm not sure I would have had an answer for her then. There was something about her that seemed sincere. What she offered me in her sincerity was an invitation and a glimpse into her heart, and for whatever reason, the roadblocks that I would have normally put up just weren't there. The stars somehow aligned, and I took her up on her offer to come and see her church. She called me up on the Saturday night, to see if I wanted a ride. She wasn't letting me off the hook. And she was with me as I walked through the doors of a Lutheran church for the very first time. Never, ever, ever underestimate the power of an invitation. In John's Gospel, for this second Sunday after Epiphany, we glimpse another perspective of John the Baptist. In other Gospels, we see John knee-deep in the Jordan, baptizing with water, with the water of the river, and informing all within earshot of the Messiah who is to come and baptize and redeem the world with God's Holy Spirit. In this text, John the Baptizer becomes John the Evangelist, pointing to Christ, directing our gaze to the one that makes God known to all, the Lamb of God who has come to walk right here among us, alive in the world, in our everyday surroundings. He is the one, he is the Messiah who will set us free from our sin. Look, there he is. And for whatever reason, the two disciples described are compelled to follow Jesus, not clear on what they expect, let alone what they will actually find. Jesus asked them, "What are you looking for?" And they answer Jesus with another question, an awkward question that doesn't make sense as an answer. They want to know where he abides. Who knows why? Perhaps so that they can just be with him. Perhaps they sense that they're in the presence of divinity. Or maybe they don't know what they're looking for. "Where are you staying?" they ask. And Jesus replies with three words that have the profound power to change the world. "Come and see." Come and see. The words are both simple and warm, issuing invitation not only to see something, but also to join in a community, to come along and to be part of something. Come and see. These words, this invitation from the heart, not simply of this opening gospel scene, but also throughout much of John's gospel, which is a story structured around encounters with Jesus. Again and again, from these early disciples to the Pharisee named Nicodemus, to the Samaritan woman at the well, to the man born blind, to Peter and Pilate, and eventually Thomas, characters throughout John's gospel encounter Jesus. A variety of people are responding in a similar way to Jesus, who encounters them as he journeys and invites them into something. And so across the pages of John's gospel, there are people of all gender, there are people of all race and color, there are Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, powerful and vulnerable, people of all shapes and sizes and varieties that meet Jesus. And to each one, in one way or another, he says the same thing. Come and see. Come and see God do a new thing. Come and see as your future opens up right in front of you. Come and see the grace of God made manifest and accessible and available to all. It is Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, who reveals to the world the nature of God. It is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. It is Jesus, who is God incarnate, fully God and fully human. God is God, and we are not God. We are seeking, thirsty, and hungry, not even sure of what we need sometimes, right? Hands outstretched as we receive the bread and the wine, filled with a hope that we can barely recognize sometimes as Christ meets us. Hoping as we find ourselves surprised, astonished by the courage to turn and follow. surprised again and again as God fills us with joy and grace and forgiveness and mercy and peace when we least expect it, in the small things, the little things, in the most profound moments of our lives. What are we looking for? Remember in the early 90s or late mid-2000s, I guess it was, those little plastic bracelets that said WWJD? Do you remember what they stood for? No, come on. WWJD, what would Jesus do, right? Okay, those things kind of bugged me. Because every time I saw them on a bumper sticker or on a plastic bracelet, I'd think, I'm a human being. How am I supposed to know what Jesus would do? How am I supposed to even know what the Son of God Almighty would do in this situation here? Sometimes I think it would be better if there were bumper stickers that said, what would WWJBAP do? What would John the Baptist do? Because that to me sounds more realistic if you think about it. That to me sounds like the new friend that I met all those years ago. Without even saying the words, she said loud and clear, look, here is God alive and well in this world, and I love God. Look, God, this is God. God is here, unmistakable, and I want you to know it. And somehow our invitation was convincing. I mean, look at me standing here, convinced. Very convinced. And like that, God uses us to point to Christ, who meets us with the invitation of a lifetime. Come and see. Come and see. The thing about invitations is that they are relational. And so the incarnation means that through the waters of our own baptism into Christ's death and resurrection, we don't have to know all the answers, thank God. We don't have to be theological masterminds or have our lives all together or worry about our own hypocrisy. But by the way, we should worry about our own hypocrisy. We don't have to be God, and thank God for that. We are lovingly called into a relationship with God and with all people. Relationship is what we are called to. And as we open ourselves up to others, really have the courage to do that, we become part of God's invitation. Doesn't that sound easy? If you want to know the Word made flesh, come and see Jesus. If you want to heal, if you're tired of brokenness, if you want to know what love is like, real love, come and see Jesus. If you want to experience God's glory, God's community, if you want to be filled with the bread that never perishes, to quench your thirst with living water, to be born anew, to abide in love, to behold the light of the world, to experience the way and the truth and the life, and to enter into life everlasting. If you want to know God, come and see Jesus. Brothers and sisters, may God open our eyes again and again to see Jesus alive and well in our midst, in the simple gift of the invitation, and to accept and offer to others the invitation to abide, assured in the new life that redeems and continues to redeem and has always redeemed the whole world. Amen.